Good morning. You know, if we didn't have knowledge about our jobs, we wouldn't be able to do them. If you're someone who is a scholarly person, if you don't have knowledge of the topic that you're studying, then you're not very successful at that. It's the same thing with God, only more so. If you don't know who God is, you're in a bad way. If you don't know things about God, you're still in a bad way. And if you don't know enough about God to accept his offer of salvation, you're going to go to hell. It's just that simple. It's just what the Bible has to say. So this morning, if you would please, turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. I see this verse all the time on Facebook. I see it on banners and displays in various places. It's a verse that's often used. It says this: "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Now that's a pretty scary thought that is expressed by God to these people who are descendants of Abraham, who are God's special people, God's own people. He had given them the law of Moses, or the law of God through Moses. He had given them those laws so that they might be in the perfect or in a right relationship with him. But time and time again, the people of the Hebrew nation, the Israelites, have gotten away from God. They would have some displeasure, or even they would have some pleasure in life, and then they would turn from God to worshiping false idols. They would get mixed in with the ungodly people around them back in the Old Testament days, as we're talking about right now. And they would do away with the correct worship of God for worshiping idols, dumb idols, which cannot produce anything, which cannot help in any way. All it does is lead people astray so that they miss their relationship with God. And it's no different today. The same sort of thing is still going on. People miss God because they don't have enough knowledge. And again, if they miss God, they won't go to heaven. They will be bound for hell. And there's plenty of Bible to understand that and understand these things that God has for us. So God's own special people. We are God's own special people. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about that. We are God's people today. We are priests. We are bricks being built up into the house of God. But I would turn your attention to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Chapter 1, in verse 19. Here we go. "But with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but of..." Excuse me, got to the wrong chapter there. Let me get back here for a second. I apologize. Let me get back to 1 Peter. There we go. Verse 23. "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." You know, of course, that Jesus came to this earth to save sinners. He came to foil the tempter's power. He came to destroy death. He came so that we might be reconciled unto the God of heaven, the person that we call our Father. In our prayers, we say, Dear Father, or O Father, thank you for all of the blessings that you have sent our way. When we address God, we do so knowing who He is, what He is, what He can do, and what He is willing to do for those who are lost, for those who are indeed bound to hell this very morning. And so God has produced Jesus Christ for us upon this earth, and Jesus pronounced His word, and then Jesus died and arose from the dead and gave the word to the apostles, and the Holy Spirit gave the word to the apostles so that we have the Bible. And when we look at the Bible, we can be assured that it's God's word. And without this word, we have no knowledge of salvation. Without this word, we can't get to heaven. Without the Bible, we don't know anything about Jesus. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. We don't know anything about the church, how God wants the church to be organized and how it's to do its work. We don't know anything about God the Father. So it is imperative that if you're interested in going to heaven, that we get to know God Almighty through His word. And that's the thing that the Hebrew people in Hebrews, excuse me, that's not true, in Hosea chapter 4 are saying and doing. They have gotten away from God's laws and His commandments. All right, if you'll notice once again in Hosea 4, in verse 6, God starts off with a verse saying, My people, not any other people. We're not talking about the Canaanites. We're not talking about the Jebusites. We're not talking about the Ammonites. We're talking about God's own people, His people. And His people are what? Destroyed. Because they don't know God. And He's laying, if you read the context, He's laying the blame for all of this at the priest's feet. So if you'll notice in verse 6 as well, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. All right, so we understand that. But what does it mean that they're going to be destroyed? Now, we've talked about that this morning already. And I don't like the idea of being destroyed by God. It's a horrible, horrible contemplation to consider how God's people are destroyed. Consider, back in those days, people that had gotten away from God, well, they would die. Just like people today, everybody dies. Everybody dies from the beginning, Adam and Eve, all the way through till however long the future goes. So people die and they are buried. And the Jews that are not amenable to God, where do you think they're going to go? What do you think that destruction means? Does it just mean the destruction of their cities? Does it mean the destruction of their homes? Well, that and more. It means that there's going to be invading nations that will come and take them away. Now, Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel. In fact, they call themselves Israel. 10 tribes got together after Solomon died and went with Jeroboam to what's now called the northern kingdom. 200 years later, about this time, 722 BC, the Assyrians came and destroyed all 10 tribes, took away those people and settled them in other places across the face of the earth so that they would not be prone to invading or inciting riots. So the northern nation of Israel was destroyed. But even still, as I say that, it's even more than that, because people who do not pay attention to God, people who lose their knowledge of God, people who do not obey God through the knowledge of God, those people are not going to hell. Not going to heaven. They are indeed going to hell. Now, why would that happen? Why is that? Well, God is a God who detest sin. And if you're not with God, then you're away from God. There's no middle ground. You are either of God or you're of the world. And that's the way it happens. That's the way it works. People who are with God, even in these days and age, back in the time of Hosea, they are going to go to heaven if they are with God. Those that are not are going to go to hell. That's just the promise. That's just the way of the book. Now then, what it says about hell is that it's a burning lake of fire. I cannot tell you just how horrendous that is. I don't have the words. I don't have the speaker's ability to give you a picture of that fire in hell, such that you can imagine what it's like that your entire self is immersed in hell. Burning, constantly burning. And the word destroyed in the New Testament never means that you go out of annihilation, that you never go out of existence. You're always there. And that word destroy in the New Testament means that it's a loss of everything that's good. And so people in the New Testament and these people in the Old Testament, as they are cast into hell, according to the book of Revelation, as they are cast into hell, they experience this unimaginable torture without end, which seems kind of strange to our ears, because if we burn something, it should burn up to a crisp and be gone. But that's just not the way of it. You continue burning, forever and ever, eternally. There is no escape from hell. You can't take a break from hell. You don't get a lunch break. You don't get coffee breaks. You don't get supper breaks. You don't get breakfast breaks. It's not that you can go to sleep in hell. You burn all the time. That is an extremely scary thought. And please realize that that is the truth of the matter according to what God has to say. So we know what destroyed means in the Bible. But now we want to take a look at Hosea 4 in verse 1. Why is this lack of knowledge? Why is this? Hosea 4 verse 1 says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." Now, the New American Standard Version has a period right there, and we'll come up to verse 2 in just a moment. But there are three things that are listed here. There's no faithfulness. Well, I get that. If you're not faithful to God, I can see where that's going. But kindness? Now, your translation might say love, whatever the case might be. Faithfulness or kindness, kindness to people that you meet every day, see every day, strangers perhaps even, kindness or knowledge of God in the land. So whoever, whatever God described himself as in the giving of the Ten Commandments, however God described himself, that's gone, that's forgotten. These people are not aware that there are the commandments. These people don't know that God has spoken to them because they're so far removed from that spiritual place in life. Now it goes on to say in verse 2, he says, this could be America, right? Look at verse 2. Swearing, deception, which is lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. As a result of this, in verse 3, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes along with the beasts of the field. You know what languish means? It means you're just kind of dullsville. You're just laying there. You don't have a lot of energy. You don't desire to get up. You just kind of have a rotten life. So it says here that the land mourns and everyone who lives in it languishes along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault and let none offer reproof. For your people are those who contend with the priests. Now, here's the priest, and they do their priestly things. And somebody might say, well, you know, Mr. Priest, is that right? Are you doing the right thing? I mean, it seems like I've got it in my mind somewhere that I read back there somewhere, or my dad told me back a long time. Seems like you're supposed to be doing this, Mr. Priest. And the priest says, oh, knock it off. I'm the priest. We can do anything that we want to do. If I want to cheat a little bit, that's okay. If I want to lie to you, that's okay. Listen, if I don't like you enough, if you keep bothering you, I'll send some guys out and they'll kill you. That's why it's called murder. You understand? The priests were horrible in these days. And the people suffered because of the priests. Yet let no one, verse 4, find fault. Let no one offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest, rebellion. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. And then we come back to verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Well, let's get a New Testament picture of this. If you would, please turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Down toward the bottom of the chapter. Beginning in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Concerning him, that is Jesus, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, these are Christians. They have been baptized for the remission of their sins. They have faith in Jesus Christ. They've repented of their sins. They confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of God, and they have been baptized to wash their sins away. Even though, look, even these Christians in that day and age, in that time, in the first century, it's hard to explain. Because you have become dull of hearing. I don't want to hear that. I've got all that stuff done. After all, I've already been baptized. I'm okay. I'm good with God. So don't tell me anything more. I don't care to hear anything more. See, that's the kind of thought process they had. So Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Wait, not I'm a Christian. I know the things that make for salvation. I know about God. I know about Jesus. I know about the Holy Spirit. I know about the church. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to stay away from. But that's just not happening, is it? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you just the elementary principles of the oracles of God, that is the Word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the Word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Are we infants this morning, friends? Do we know as much about God as we need to know, as we even think we know? When you start looking at yourself and comparing yourself to the Scriptures, you might find a great deficit. And you might find a great amount of information that you need to learn or even relearn. I guarantee you, as a preacher of the gospel, I have to go back and relearn stuff. So I already know that. But what does that verse actually say? So I have to go back. And I have to read that verse again. And I have to get it into my mind again. I have to get it in the context. And then I have to know if I'm going to use that verse correctly or not. But we all need to be teachers. That means I could point my finger at every one of you, calling you out by name and telling you that you need to be a teacher of Jesus Christ to the lost and to each other, to encourage each other. You ought to be teachers, but you have need of the elementary principles. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Who because of what? Practice. A lot of people don't like that word practice. There are piano players that don't particularly like or enjoy practice. there are sports people who probably enjoy practice, but they also get dead tired in practice. And so that's something that they don't necessarily look forward to. Oh, they look forward to the game, but practice is a different matter altogether. It's the same thing with being Christians. We have to practice God's word so that we can play the game of spirituality, so that we can bring as many people to heaven as we possibly can. All right, now turn the page to chapter 6. Let me tell you what the elementary principles are. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Let's go ahead. Let's get this done. Not laying again a foundation. Well, what is that foundation? Well, you need to know about repentance from dead works. You need to know about faith toward God. You need to understand instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. That's Hosea 4. People who've gotten so used to the good word of God that they don't even practice it. People that have gotten so used to God's word that they don't care to spend their time in God's word in practice. There are people, even Christians, who do not practice the things that God wants to. Oh, we're good at worship. We got that down. We've got singing down and then prayer down. We do that. We give of our means. We partake of the Lord's Supper. And we hear preaching. We get that every Lord's Day, every Sunday. But what about speaking God's word to the lost? You must make some effort. And there's so many different ways in which to do that. You might not be able to walk up to a stranger, like I do, and be able to speak God's word. You may be shy about that. Oh, I get that. I understand that. But you can send an email. You can send a card of some sort inviting people to worship, people that you know that are not Christians. You can do something. Send them a pamphlet. Send them a book. There are so many different things that people can do to express God's word to the lost. And that's what we need to be doing. It's God's word. And we just kind of sort of give that up. We just kind of sort of put that in the back seat. We're not too concerned about that particular commandment. And listen, if the Hebrews had lost out because they weren't doing God's word, do you think we're going to escape hell because we're not doing all of God's word? How very important is this? How sinful is that? What is it that we need in order to ensure our life in Jesus Christ for our hope of heaven?